Welcome to Power to the People. Hello and welcome to Power to the People, your radio program brought to you by Democrats Abroad Global Black Caucus. I'm your host, Erica Smith. Today on Power to the People, we're exploring Juneteenth. That's right, Juneteenth. Texas and Oklahoma are the only two states that officially recognize Juneteenth as a legal holiday. But what is Juneteenth? Juneteenth is a celebration of the emancipation of former slaves held in the South. It first began with Lincoln issuing the Emancipation Proclamation on September 22nd in 1862, which required the Confederate states to return to the Union or their slaves would be permanently freed. We all know what happened next. Nothing. Plus, the Emancipation Proclamation did not affect slaveholding states that stayed in the Union. When New Orleans was captured after the Battle of New Orleans, April 25th through May 1st, 1862, many slaveholders and owners in both Mississippi and Louisiana migrated to Texas to escape the Union Army and the proclamation. But by 1865, June 19th, slaveholders could run no more. Major General Gordon Granger issued General Order No. 3 in Galveston, Texas, which stated, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts, and they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere." However, even after the order was given, this was not an instantaneous event for most of the Lone Star State's slaves. On plantations, masters could decide when and how to announce the news or wait for military intervention. According to PBS.org, African Americans Through Many Rivers to Cross, by Henry Louis Gates Jr., defying confusion and delay, terror and violence, the newly freed black men and women of Texas, with the aid of the Freedmen's Bureau, delayed from arriving until September 1865, now had a date to rally around. In one of the most inspiring grassroots efforts of the post-Civil War period, they transformed June 19th from a day of unheeded military orders into their own annual rite, Juneteenth, beginning 1 year later in 1866. It is well to note that at the onset of the Civil War, many of the slaves did not wait for an Emancipation Proclamation nor a general order. They freed themselves. As infrastructures fell in the South, many ran to Union lines, creating free communities. By 1870, there were about 50 freedom settlements in Limestone County, Texas. The largest Juneteenth celebrations took place there. And when communities could not use public lands, they bought land to be able to make their celebrations possible.
Bring love, sweet chariot.
Later on, the celebration spread throughout to places like Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana during the time of Reconstruction from 1865 to 1877 and into the 1890s. At this time, African Americans began speaking about their political rights and were encouraged to participate in the political process of running for offices and voting. One of the first black governors during the period of Reconstruction was Pinckney Benton Stewart Pinchback, who served as governor of Louisiana for 36 days. From December 9, 1872 to January 13, 1873, after the death of Lieutenant Governor Oscar Dunn, and the impeachment of the elected official Henry C. Warmoth. While in office, he sanctioned 10 legislative bills, and later on his legislation would help to found Southern University. By the 1900s, African Americans' rights to vote and access to political platforms were slowly being taken away through Jim Crow, which were segregationist laws, and they began to take on more ground creeping into American society. It was during this time that many whites, as well as blacks, saw Juneteenth as un-American. The onset of World War I did not help Juneteenth's cause during that time, so Juneteenth celebrations slowly began to die off. The focus at that time for many African Americans as well was survival because of events like the Red Summer of 1919, which lasted well into 1921, with lynchings and race riots destroying thriving African American communities all throughout the United States. The renaissance of Juneteenth wouldn't take place until just before World War II in 1936. This revival was put into motion by Mr. Antonio Maceo Smith in Dallas, Texas. He wanted to create an African-American exhibit for the Texas Sesquicentennial Celebration. After a few setbacks from local and state government, he was able to secure a $100,000 grant from the U.S. government to create the Hall of Negro Life at the State Fair, June 19, 1936. About 46,000 African-Americans came to the State Fair to admire the hall. Unfortunately, the hall was demolished after the State Fair closed. Though the hall was demolished, this brought new air into the lungs of Juneteenth celebrations across the country. By the 50s and 60s, the celebrations began to align with civil rights efforts, and African Americans saw the parallel between their ancestors' struggles and the conditions of African American life at the time. This was also a period when the signing of the Civil Rights Act in 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 were finally seen as a fulfillment of the Emancipation Proclamation and the 15th Amendment, which had granted the right to vote to newly freed slaves almost an entire century before. In 1979, in Houston, Texas, Representative Al Edwards introduced House Bill 1016, making Juneteenth a state holiday. This was a concerted effort by African American, Latino, and white legislators to pass the bill in Texas. It was the first official emancipation holiday of its sort, and they passed the bill, ironically, on June 7th, 1979, which was the day of Homer Plessy's arrest in New Orleans for refusing to ride in a car designated for blacks in 1895. Despite the long and arduous road to freedom from slavery to rights being suppressed in 2018, we as citizens must continue the good fight by continuing to show up. How can this be done? Voting, getting involved in local, state, and federal elections, educating ourselves about what matters most in our communities, such as voter suppression through gerrymandering, creating safe environments for all who find themselves on American soil, or even electing officials who put into place policies that are beneficial for all. This can be achieved through voting. Your voice matters through your vote. Register to vote online at www.votefromabroad.org and let your voice be heard and counted. Dear listeners, thank you so much for joining us today on Power to the People, brought to you by Democrats Abroad Global Black Caucus. And if you'd like to find out more about us or more about Democrats Abroad, you can find us online at www.democratsabroad.org/BC. And there you can find out more about voting from abroad and the Global Black Caucus. Follow us online as well on Facebook and Twitter. And find exclusive episodes of our podcast on iTunes. And remember to register to vote at votefromabroad.org. And until next time, keep the power going.
There's an old friend that I once heard say something that touched my heart, and it began this way. And just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come.
Tell you that it's been a